Yeah, so let's just jump straight in and talk about a few different things that happened today before we jump into some other things, I guess, that are going on in the Google world and also, I guess, in the world in general. I guess first we can talk about the Pixel 4a, which is kind of our original, or I guess our big story of the day. Basically, we have all the details on the Pixel 4a, and long story short, this device is pretty much what we thought it was. I mean, we've seen, dozens and dozens of rumors and leaks over the last couple months, and it seems like most of them have panned out. We don't really there. I guess there are a few minor things that we still don't know. Like technically, we don't know the pricing unless you want to believe that billboard leak, which is
Yes.
probably fairly, it's reasonable to believe it. But that, and we also don't know what day Google's going to press publish on the keyword blog post. But yeah, I mean, in my story today, we basically did a rundown on all of the various specifications. First of all, we can confirm basically beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is a single device. And that's been kind of rumored for a while now, and it looks like that's the case. Unlike last year, where we saw the Google Pixel 3a and 3a XL, it looks like this device is dramatically going to reduce. It looks like Google's dramatically reducing the number of SKUs with this
That's the
one.
reason they're doing
And
this.
yeah,
That's
it seems like, I
absolutely the
mean,
reason they're doing it.
yeah. But yeah, this is just one Pixel 4a, and we're not 100% sure on how many SKUs there will be, but it doesn't look like many. It looks like maybe minimum two, which is, I mean, last year, how many were there? There was two storage sizes across three color
Three
variants
colors.
on two sizes. So
12.
that's, yeah, 12 different SKUs. And it looks like we might have two or four this time around. Because there's only one size for that part. And it seems like, we don't know for sure, but it seems like there's only two colors. It seems like there's just going to be a just black and a barely blue. I think many people have been misinterpreting the leaks around the white model. We've seen on leaks that he had his normal CAD renders. And I think, as usual, it seems like on leaks typically, and the sites that he partners with are typically kind of just guesstimating on the external designs. What they really have are just the CAD dimensions. And it looks like, from what we're being told, it looks like this white model that's been rendered so many times, it doesn't look like it exists. And I think a lot of people kind of had some issues with that, considering this billboard design leaks that came out of Evan Blass and were apparently out of some kind of marketing, probably it was probably, I would guess, a third party marketing firm that Google's partnering with or working with on some of the marketing stuff for this phone. But those billboards showed a device that, if you look at it just quickly, it looks like it is just a white phone with a typical kind of orange. Is that what Google would call it? Orange? Or would they call it
Yeah, it's
coral?
orange.
Or I don't know. An orange
Orange.
power
They're
button.
actually quite boring with those hints, those pops of color.
Yeah. But after being told what we've been told about the just black model and the barely blue model, it looks like that device might actually be the barely blue. And it seems like that name is apt, given that most people couldn't even tell that it was blue. But if you zoom out enough on the image, or if you look at it from the right angle, squint enough, you can tell that there is some degree of blue hue there. And we actually, as a team, a 9to5 Google team, we actually debated that when we first pulled up this billboard, or sort of saw this billboard leak. Isn't that right?
Yeah, in the same vein that last year's purplish is basically white, Google is just consolidating. I guess people don't really care whether that it's not white and it's not a straight eggshell light, but this berry
Yeah.
blue color will just do for most people, and Google gets a save on a SKU.
Yeah, I think of it in terms of, displays. You can have warm whites and you can have cool whites. And I think that I think that this barely blue is going to be closer to being what we would consider a cool white than, you know, an actual proper blue phone. And I think that was also confusing. I mean, Dave2D, is that his name on YouTube?
Yes.
Yes, a while back, a long time ago, and he had this YouTube video where he claimed that there were going to be three colors of the Google Pixel 3 or 4a with the black, white, and this blue model. And the blue model that he mocked up was a very bold, bright blue.
Yeah.
And I just think that he missed it. It seems like he did have some privileged information, and props to him for having that so early. I mean, that was what, 2 months ago now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, props to him for having the information that it was actually blue, but it looks like he may have just misinterpreted his source a little bit, because it looks like, and maybe at that time, the white model, if the white model existed, maybe the white model still was going to happen and the blue was going to be, you know, kind of like last year, we had the black and the white and the purple-ish. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was going to be a barely blue on top of white and black, but it looks like maybe Google decided that, one, they want to reduce SKUs, and two, maybe the off-white blue is maybe not far enough from white for it to for it to matter. I bet they saw last year that the purple-ish model had enough interest among the people who would buy the white one, and that's me. I'm pointing at myself. That they probably decided that the white was probably extraneous or unnecessary. But yeah, I mean, it looks like that's what's going to happen. And we have all the other specs. Anything on this spec sheet, anyone who's listening to the show, you can head over to 95google.com to check it out and see it for yourself and look at it yourself, because I don't think we're going to go through every single little detail. But is there anything on this spec sheet that's interesting to you?
What's more interesting is what's not on the spec sheet. And from from the spec sheet we're seeing is there's no wireless charging, which is expected on the mid-range phone, and there's no Pixel Neural Core as you pointed out.
Yeah, there's no Soli.
There's no Soli. Yeah, it's fine. It's getting better, I guess. And there's no from what we can tell, there is no Active Edge on this phone.
Yeah, that's an interesting detail. And I don't know, I'm not 100% sure on that. And that's why I left it out of the report. But it does seem like that's going to be missing this time around. And that's kind of interesting from a couple of different perspectives. One being that Google has stuck with it. I was surprised. I mean, was the first Active Edge phone was Pixel 2, correct?
Yes.
And it seems like, I mean, I was surprised when the Pixel 3 came around that they kept that feature around, because it seemed a bit novelty. I actually found it useful. I think that they probably took the positive feedback that they heard from reviewers into account in the fact that they kept it around for both the Pixel 3 and the Pixel 4 and the 3A for that matter.
Yes.
But it looks like it has exhausted its time on Earth, and it will be put to pasture in the Pixel 4A. Again, we're not sure on that, and that's why we left it out of the report. But it does seem like that's going to be the case, that this might not have that squeeze to access the assistant feature that we've come to expect from the Pixels. I don't think many people are going to be heartbroken about that personally.
No. Yeah. I think what's interesting is how this phone, which has a new Google Assistant, which we can confirm here, as well as from those billboards that leaked, is that how Google wants to have a consistent way to launch Assistant on its devices. And this new thing it's trying to teach people and make sure it's consistent is by dragging up from the bottom, from the left and right corners. I've been trying to educate on the new way to launch. So I think in a way, getting rid of the hardware method introduces some much needed consistency. Speaking of that, I think other things.
What does this leave? I mean, on the software side, you know, since we don't have the three button home, you know, back multitasking setup that we had previously, is this going to leave accessing the assistant? I guess the swipe up from the corners will be one way. And obviously there's various ways to access
actually the three, the tree, but very quietly, the tree button navigation now allows you to access a new assistant. Google very subtly did this a few weeks ago. And you can use tree button, the old tree button navigation that will remain on every device to launch. So looking into diving back into the specs again, what I think is super interesting is the 128 gig storage tier. Instead of Google just giving everybody 64, what we're looking at here is...
Yeah, on storage, we're also, you know, there's been ample evidence that there are 64 gig versions out there, but we're also very much aware of a 128 gig model. So
which it seems very much encourage Google to stick with. It takes everybody to the entire phone industry to increase the storage capacity, to increase the base storage capacity, and by Google, hopefully, it again in order to reduce SKUs, just offering it's exciting for what that means for something like the next flagship phone. In terms of maybe there being a 256 storage configuration, which I know some people do need that extra storage, but yeah, it's a good idea to raise the bar for everybody, and good thing for Google.
It'll be interesting to see that, because I think it seems like Google's trying to do two things with this phone. One, it seems like for whatever reason, maybe just preserving profit margins or whatever, they're trying to minimize the SKUs, but also it seems like they're trying to really jack up the value proposition with this phone.
Absolutely.
even more so than the 3A was. And the 3A itself was obviously a spectacular value. So I think that they're really trying to make sure at the very least this phone remains as much of a value standout as the 3A was. And so it would be interesting to see them perhaps, you know, make all devices 128 gig storage and just leave the 64 gig model out. I mean, that would drop things down. If there were only two colors, one size and one storage, that would mean there's only two SKUs for this device, at least for the United States, which that would be fascinating. If there's a 64 gig model like we've seen leaked everywhere, or, you know, maybe they'll stick with only 64 gigs. I don't know. But if there's a 64 gig and a 128 gig model, that would mean four SKUs. Interestingly, one thing I did notice that one of the Pixel 4a billboards actually says starting at $399. And so if it says starting at, we have to assume that there is some degree of upgradability here, which would suggest, you know, maybe the 64 gig version is $399 and the 128 gig version is $449. We're not 100% sure on that. But yeah, that's an interesting point. That this will be available in 128 gigs, and it is probably going to be pretty good value. So, yeah, that's all of that in terms of what's missing and just the storage stuff. It looks like the battery is just going to be slightly larger in capacity than the Pixel 3a at 3080 milliamp hours versus 3000. And it'll be interesting to see how well the battery holds up this time around, because this is a very slightly larger battery, but it is a larger display size in the same physical body size of the smaller Pixel 3a. So it'll be interesting to see how much that very small bump in battery capacity is going to help this thing run for, you know, at least a full day, maybe two. I've always said, and I still believe, that it's of primary importance that a phone can make it through one full day of moderate usage. And if it can, then it passes. And if it can't, then it fails. That's how I review phones, because I really don't think that there's, unless you are in a field where you are using your phone as your primary computing device. And like, if you're like us, where we're going to a phone launch event and we need our phone to run for, you know, an entire day, that's an exceptional case. And I think that just warrants having an external battery. I think for the vast majority of people, especially people that are buying a Pixel 4a, kind of that bar of, can this comfortably make it through a full day? That's kind of the bar, because, you know, just like any phone, you can charge it at night. And so I've always felt that way about batteries. And I feel like this is a whole philosophical conversation, but I think, you know, obviously more capacity is better, but you know, at some point it's an asymptote reaching zero in terms of, I guess, utility of having more battery, because there will always be those hours of the day where your phone could be charging where you're not awake. So anyways, it will have USB-C fast charging via, you know, the typical USB-C port on the bottom, 18 watt fast charging, just like the Pixel 3A and 4, I believe, too. And no Qi, as you mentioned. It looks like the cameras are pretty standard hardware. The main 12.2 megapixel shooter seems to be identical to the 12.2 megapixel non-telephoto shooter on the Pixel 4. And then the front-facing camera is an 8 megapixel camera with an 84-degree field of view that seems to be identical to the Pixel 3A's front-facing camera. So that would seem to suggest that, am I correct that the Pixel 3A had the field of view that was halfway in between the Pixel 3's wide angle and the Pixel 3's regular angle front-facing cameras? Is that right?
Yes, it's between there. The phone,
right, and
obviously,
so
coming after the 3 had the foresight of what people cared about.
Right. And I think people loved that wide angle front facing camera on the Pixel 3. And Google, I guess, decided to just slice it in half and just go halfway with the Pixel 3A. And it seems like that same exact kind of philosophy is following through on the Pixel 4A. The video recording specs, we're told, are identical to the Pixel 4. So I just copy and pasted what the Pixel 4 video recording specs are. I copy and paste them straight from the Google store because we're told they're exactly the same. And, you know, all the normal software features, also copied and pasted some of these from the Google Pixel 4 spec sheet because they are exactly the same. There's that now playing feature on the always on display. There's the new Google Assistant, which, as we've come to find out, is very, very slowly making its way outside of the Google ecosystem. And even only recently has gained support for G Suite accounts on Pixel phones. But it looks like that new Google Assistant is going to be making its appearance here on the Pixel 4a after being first unveiled alongside the Pixel 4. And you're looking at 3 years of updates and security patches. So that's of note. There is a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. Anyone that's been following the leaks has known that. So Google still believes that if you are wealthy, you don't need a headphone jack. And if you need a budget phone, that you do for whatever reason. So that's Pixel 4a. Is there anything else to it?
Your post is effectively a spec sheet for what everybody can expect.
Yep. And I guess we can move on now to a perfect segue here, talking about the existence of the 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. You apparently won't need Pixel Buds with the Pixel 4a.
Yeah.
Because you can just plug in your own pair of headphones you have sitting in your drawer. You won't have to buy the $180 Pixel Buds.
$179 to be exact. Yes.
What'd you say?
$179 to be exact.
Yes.
Which,
yes,
everybody wants, but it's not here yet. And over the weekend, this Chicago retailer called ABT ended up posting a full product page for the Pixel Buds, all 4 colors. And many people were able to pre-order. And a great page, but subsequent emails with customer support pointed to this late April, early May availability shipping time. But that changed yesterday.
Yeah. So what happened with ABT, and this is a whole dramatic story, it seems like, ABT, as Abner just mentioned, they put up their product listings for Google Pixel Buds 2 in various colors. And people pre-ordered them as you would if you were interested in buying these, and you currently cannot really buy them anywhere. It's just this Chicago-based retailer was suddenly taking orders. A lot of people ordered them. And it looks like basically Google or this retailer they notified their customers, hey, you know, we're clearly not going to have these Pixel Buds in stock, and Google apparently emailed ABT and told them, hey, we're going to have these in your warehouse sometime in late April or early May. And basically, ABT clicked the forward button on that email and just sent it to every customer who purchased the Google Pixel Buds. So yeah, they're just updating customers on their status of the order. It looks like the white models, they were told, and this is one reason I believe, I really genuinely do believe that this was an email or this was information directly from the mouth of Google, because it was very specific. They said, they specifically said, we have been informed by Google in the email. They said that the white model would be released in early or end of April / early May. And then they sent another email that also said, we have been informed by Google that this model, AKA the not white model, in this case, it was the black model, the GA01478 US, in case you want to know the exact model number. They told buyers or pre-orders of those that this model would be expected in early / mid July in the warehouse. So we basically reported this information because it sounded like it was straight from Google. Now, whether or not these timelines actually reflect when you will be able to buy the Pixel Buds 2 from Google itself on the Google Store, that's yet to be seen. It's probably pretty good in terms of using that information to extrapolate when we might be able to buy them. Because if they're going to be in the warehouse of ABT in Chicago, Illinois, at the end of April / early May for the white model, then that would mean that, you know, ABT would be then in turn shipping them out to customers around that time. So I would guess that the Google Pixel Buds probably were aimed to be in customers' hands probably around the time of Google I/O. We don't know what that looks like. To me, it would seem personally, I mean, maybe you have a different opinion on this, but to me, it would seem like unusual for Google to take the stage again and say, hey, remember this product we announced like 7 months ago? We're going to announce it again, and now they're actually available. I feel like that would be more embarrassing than it would be productive.
Yeah, they didn't even. I think the Desktop Max got a mention made by Google 2019, but no, they didn't re-announce it in any way.
Yeah. So yeah, I wouldn't have expected them to take the stage and re-announce them alongside the Pixel 4a at Google I/O. But it did seem like just kind of like the Nest Hub Max situation, where it was pre-announced, but you know, it's not quite ready yet. Anyways, it seemed to be that kind of situation. So I would guess that these probably are going to be ready to buy for consumers, and I guess consumers will have them in their hands sometime early next month. That's my guess. Right now, as of this moment, the Google Store still has a wait list. You can't pre-order them from Google yet. So maybe that would suggest that things are a little bit farther away than maybe we hope. But yeah, that's the story. Interestingly, after all of that happened, Google is now, or I don't know. We don't know exactly what happened. But after all of this, ABT emailed all of those customers that they updated with these shipment estimates. And said, yeah, we're canceling all the orders. And they said, we mistakenly put this product on our website. And it sounded like a very kind of like, you know, when your dog does something and you walk in the room, they kind of had that like that guilty face. Like that's how I read that email personally.
Yeah.
So I think my guess, and it's my pure speculation, is that Google was a little bit annoyed that they were translating or forwarding that information off to their consumers, which then turned into media news articles on 95google.com. Maybe that's, you know, a little self-important, and maybe I don't have as much influence, or we don't have as much influence as we think we do. But that's what it seemed like to me. It seemed like they were tracking that back because Google got annoyed that our headlines or the various news outlets headlines were spouting out Pixel 4 or Pixel Buds release dates that Google didn't want public. So yeah, that's Pixel Buds. If you want them, I should say you should probably expect to see them sometime next month, at least the white models. So
yeah. Yeah. Pixel Buds.
Pixel Buds. Other drama happened this week.
Yes, other drama.
Google has had a tough time with the Hangouts branding.
I was going to say you should start in the history. But yeah, what happened this week is, well, Google Meet, Hangouts Meet is having a moment because of the general COVID-19 pandemic situation happening around the world. It's seeing crazy usage numbers, 2 billion minutes of video calls per day. I believe it was 25x growth since January. A crazy stat, like 60% day-to-day growth. So it's having a moment, and understandably, Google, while everybody's using this product, Google wants them to know what they're using, wants them to in love with the brand, to familiarize themselves with the brand. So before this happened, at the very beginning of this of COVID-19 in March, it was still called Hangouts Meet. That's how blog posts, that's how announcements about Hangouts Meet premium features going free were discussed as Hangouts Meet. But I guess days into the pandemic, and with more and more people using it, Google started talking about Hangouts Meet as Google Meet. They just dropped this legacy Hangouts branding from the name and described this new product, this rebranded product as just Google Meet. And it's a better brand. It's short, it's new, it's to the point. That you can make a verb out of it. Unlike Hangouts. Okay, yeah. And
yep. It's not a great verb though. It's not much better.
No, but it's not. But Google loves its generic better namings. They love, yes, Assistant, for example. It's honestly shocking they went like, well, this is because Gmail is so old, but they went with Gmail instead of Google Mail.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yep. But anyways, this whole story, it started, you know, as you mentioned, we've been tracking this for a while, and it seems like for months now, we've just been catching one-off instances of a blog post or, you know, an executive or someone just referring to Google Hangouts Meet, the product that we've been tracking for a long time, Scott.
Referring to it casually.
Scott Johnson announced these products in 2017 as, you know, kind of the two products that he's really leading up as kind of the evolution of Hangouts. And we've been following them for a long time. And they've both, in their infancy, were pretty, honestly, very bare bones and kind of unusable mm-hmm. compared to the other fully fleshed out products on the market, or I guess their competitors. And over the last couple of years, they've kind of grown into something that has become, you know, somewhat mature. And we just noticed on and off, you know, instances where executives or whoever have mentioned just called it Meet or just Google Meet or something like that. And it seems suspicious that Google was maybe moving away from the Hangouts brand. We reported back, I think at the end of 2018, it was.
Yes.
Yeah. Almost, we're going on 2 years ago now. We reported that 2020 would be the year that Google Hangouts, aka the original Google Hangouts, the Hangouts that most people in 2018 were maybe still using, maybe not as much the case anymore, but that Google Hangouts, that product would go away. And Google really didn't like that report, and we got a lot of pushback, and basically Scott Johnson argued that that Google Hangouts was not going away, but that it was, because the old version would be upgraded, so to speak. All users of the old version of Hangout would be upgraded to Hangouts Chat. That didn't make much sense at the time because they were very distinct products and there was really no clear way in which that was ever going to happen. And it's still not that clear. It's slightly more clear now, but still not very much. But it still remains true that the old Hangouts, the old platform, it seems to still be going away. And I guess they just didn't really like that angle because they were still at that point, they were still sticking with the Hangouts branding, which didn't make any sense because these are enterprise products and Hangouts makes absolutely no sense in that context. But they were still sticking with the brand nonetheless. And Scott was arguing that, you know, these Hangouts Meet and Hangouts Chat products were a natural evolution of the old Hangouts, the classic Hangouts. They started using this new proper noun, Hangouts Classic, which was brand new after we did this reporting. But yeah, so, you know, they still wanted to stick with that Hangouts branding and kind of just frame it as a transition. That transition to this day has not really happened. And it seems that now that this pandemic's happening, it seems like this may have forced Google's hand a little bit in transitioning these brands faster than they wanted to. I think they genuinely did have some kind of plan to push old Hangouts users, at least those that were maybe in the workforce or using them for enterprise purposes or small business purposes, maybe try to push them over to these new Hangouts products as much as possible and drag out this transition as long as possible. And then one day maybe get rid of the Hangouts branding. But it looks like because of this pandemic, Google's hand was forced a little bit. And it does seem like Google Hangouts is effectively dead. I mean, obviously classic Hangouts Classic, the product still exists. However, we're being told, or we've heard from one source, that the Hangouts Chat team has been directed to finally actually transition people over. Hangouts Classic does still have a very substantial user base. And so I think the plan still is to move everyone over, but it still does indeed remain true that I think the old product, which is, to be clear, a separate product, even though it shares a name, which it doesn't anymore. This is a mess.
It's an absolute mess.
But that old product is going away. And it does seem like, actually, it seems like the timeline has worked out really well based on our, and in line with our reporting that it would probably happen by the end of 2020. So yeah, so that's what's going on with Hangouts Meet, which is the video conferencing Zoom competitor. For those that don't know, Zoom/Skype, I guess, what are other main big competitors to,
Skype, basically Microsoft Teams.
Microsoft Teams, So that's Hangouts Meet, which is now Google Meet, and it's officially Google Meet because Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google, today tweeted about the product and called it Google Meet. So it is official now. Now today we are seeing yet another development around this, which is the sibling product, which is Hangouts Chat, which is more like an enterprise Slack competitor. So it's supposed to be kind of like work-based chat product. And it's the product that Google claims that they're moving everyone over from Classic Hangouts to. And that product now, after the rename yesterday, which Google made official and confirmed in a statement to Android Police, everyone speculated, okay, maybe this means that Hangouts Chat, this other product, the sibling to Hangouts Meet, is going to be renamed too. And what would that be renamed to? It would be renamed to Google Chat, which, for those that don't know, was the colloquial name for Google Talk.
Yeah.
And it became known internally and externally as GChat. That was the shorthand for Google's original old chat platform, which was the platform that, if you remember, was the one that eventually evolved into what we previously knew as Hangouts Classic. So
yes,
I guess this all rounds out today in terms of our reporting, which the news is today out of the United States Patent and Trademark Office that Google has trademarked the name Google Chat, which I'm surprised they needed to trademark that, aren't you?
Yeah, it's I guess they never bothered ages ago, but because it was like, oh, he's scrappy Google with its products. But yeah, we're seeing a trademark for Google Chat. And they're going to have a real hard time preventing people from just calling it GChat, from just shortening it, be it nostalgia or be it like a convenient way to shorten something like Gmail, for example. But yeah, it's Google Chat. And zooming out a bit, between Hangouts Meet and Hangouts Chat, the video conferencing product was always the most promising. There was no real controversy to Google doing what it did with Hangouts Meet, with Google Meet now. And yeah, it was always the better product. And it's kind of fitting that it's the first to officially adopt the new Google Meet branding. It's deserving to be a Google product, let's say, in terms of their communications efforts. Meanwhile, Hangouts Chat is Google Chat, whenever it becomes that officially, it has a lot to do. It's a Slack competitor. It has never really shaken off that basic feeling to it, that in that it's a bare bones competitor to Slack and all that kind of stuff. It's just there. And Google is working night and day to upgrade it, to make it more competitive offering, which it needs in like something like Microsoft Teams and of course Slack. But that's where we are in.
Yeah, that's where we are. And I guess for listeners who maybe want the very, very simple version, as we round out this section of the show today, I think Justin Uberti, who's now an engineering lead on Stadia and was the founder of WebRTC and Google Duo, which we'll talk about Google Duo a little bit more at the end of the show. I really, really respect him. I respect his clarity. I respect how helpful he's been on social media with clarifying some of these things that have been going on. And a lot of them don't even have anything to do with his team, but he's, I think, done a better job than anyone, maybe even better than Google PR. He tweeted out maybe a year or two ago, a tweet basically simplifying this and saying, hey, we know this is confusing, but it's easier to think about it in terms of who these products are made for, not in terms of who can access these products. And I think really put really simply, he made this very simple, kind of just spreadsheet showing, Google for personal use, for consumers, for people that are just having chats with friends, they've made Google Messages, which is basically the SMS app, and in hopefully the RCS platform going forward, as RCS hopefully makes some progress in terms of wider adoption. That's their messaging product. And then Google Duo, which is a one-on-one or one-to-one kind of, or primarily personal. One-to-one personal video chatting app, very similar to Apple's FaceTime. That's the video app. Now, in terms of for Teams, they're calling it for Teams, which I guess can, it could be a team for a nonprofit. It could be a team for, a large business. It could be, Google uses Meet for their teams. They're their internal teams. It could be for anything. Teams is a very broad word, but,
it's kind of smart, though. It's a good name, and too bad Microsoft took it.
Yeah. And they've built Hangouts Meet, which is now Google Meet, for basically those video conferencing needs. And they built Hangouts Chat, which is now Google Chat, for those messaging needs. So that's the really simple version. Now it gets more complicated when you consider all the other messaging platforms that Google has. If you want to go down the rabbit hole, you could talk about what the heck is YouTube Chat supposed to be for, which I think that recently got retired because it made no sense. There's so many other facets to this, but that's kind of the simple version of what's going on with messaging. Just for anyone that's listening that might need that clarity. So with that, I think we can move on now a little bit and talk about, what should we talk about? Should we talk about Stadia? Stadia is free now.
Yeah, it's perfectly timed, I guess, given the state of the people staying at home. It's in a lot of ways, this feels like the actual launch compared to November. It you can now access a free tier of Stadia. I think the best way to think about what's free is you're getting access to a free console in the cloud. With that model in mind, you still have to buy games. So yeah, that's now free, but everybody's getting a 2 months free trial of Stadia Pro. There's a $9.99 subscription per month. And that's, you get that for 2 months and you have nine games right now. So that's so that you can have content to try Stadia out with. So that's a pretty good proposition. Yeah, compared to November, the launch where you had to first buy a $129 hardware kit, this feels like the real one. And but again, at the same time, we will probably needed to iterate in public, so to speak, with what for the past 5 months, and they got the chance to do that. And now here's the version meant for everyone, the free tier, the free product that they're good at building and offering to everybody around the world. So that is the big Stadia news this week, yesterday. And touching on some other things that happened this week, that happened last week actually, Google Podcasts launched this big redesign. Have you had a chance to use it?
Yeah, and it's pretty much the same thing as Google Podcasts for Android. I think Google's gotten pretty good about making sure that in terms of feature set, a lot of these apps across platforms are pretty equivalent. So yeah, it's nice to have, especially if you use Google Podcasts as your home base, so to speak, for podcasts. You know, if you have any iOS devices in your life, you were pretty limited up to now. And so, yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I've actually switched over from using Pocket Cast to Google Podcasts. The simplicity is surprisingly nice. It doesn't do too much. It doesn't have like more advanced playlists or making your own playlist, but it's simple and your assistant speakers sync with it. So that's a real benefit too. It's really Google has ambitious plans for podcasting, and some in the same vein as Stadia, actually, it's something a future growth driver for Google and something promising to look at.
Yep, definitely. We still have yet to see. For those that don't know, when we're talking about the big ambitious plans for podcasting, I think a lot of it centers around Google's long term plan to to index every podcast on the web and make it basically searchable. They're gonna make podcasts easily searchable, and it seems like that's already happening within Google Podcasts app. Yeah. I think
it's transcribing everything you say, and you can search. In Google Podcasts.
So if you were to search Google Podcasts in Google Podcasts tomorrow, you might find this episode of Alphabet Scoop as one of the results because we recently talked about it for a while. So that's that. But we also, it's yet to be seen how that's going to impact Google search. It'll be interesting to see when those two kind of worlds collide. I'm waiting for the day that I search something on Google search and a podcast is a first result, and it's because Google automatically transcribed that podcast and it found exactly the information I was looking for. I'm waiting for that day to happen. I don't think that's happened yet. So, that's what we're talking about, I think, when we talk about Google's big plans for podcasts. Speaking of Google search, Google Duo is thanking all the coronavirus helpers over Google the next Duo. 2 weeks with a bunch of different doodles. Google Doodles.
I think you said Duo. I think you said Duo. But yes, Doodles. Basically, like you were saying, there's going to be 2 weeks of doodles thanking those helping with the coronavirus, and in the way that people think of us in the way that people think of tech sites covering products to be the actual company that has been happening with Doodles, with tips, email lines getting inundated is honestly a fair description of people advocating for doodles for certain groups of people, with first responders, to people working in grocery stores, to researchers, that kind of stuff. And it's absolutely heartening, really. It shows how like being thanked by this, being thanked for the service, the job you're doing amidst this pandemic, coming from this large entity that so many people see, the Google search homepage, the Chrome's new tab page, with so many people seeing that and having your group, your category being thanked day to day. It's people who are helping with this virus are really appreciative of it. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of the feel-good story about humanity amidst the suffering that's generally happening.
Yeah, and it's really fascinating to see how passionate people feel about this, because for those who don't know, it's kind of a little bit inside baseball, but people think that 9to5 Google sometimes people think that 9to5 Google is run by Google. And so we're getting tips all the time with, hey, your product is broken. Hey, can you help me with Google Meet? This is a charming story, and I'll tell it here on the podcast. I got an email just yesterday. They said, hey, I am so glad. I really appreciated your coverage of Google Meet. And you know what? I'm a boomer, so I just can't figure it out. Can you write a guide for me on how to use Google Meet? And I just loved it because they were so honest about the email. They literally said, I'm a boomer, so that might explain why I'm having so much trouble.
Yeah.
And it was like, signed Joan. And it was like, you know, perfect, because Joan is such a boomer name. But, you know, like, we're getting these kind of tips all the time. And it's just really endearing to see that people are asking us, we're not Google, so we don't have any control over the Google Doodle. People are asking us, hey, I have a friend who's an EMT. Can you please make a doodle for the EMTs or whatever? And, you know, we're just getting constantly bombarded with these kind of requests.
So, yeah, that's the tip you mentioned about Google Meet. That's interesting in terms of how this, if you think about it, there's kind of a marketing failure here, because at least from what you describe, that person maybe wants like Duo.
Oh, yes. They definitely need Duo.
Yeah. And like, what is Duo? What the word Duo, what is it? And it doesn't really describe what it's doing. And now that you mention it, that something like Google Meet, that makes so much more sense as a name for a video conferencing solution.
Yeah, definitely. And Duo, man, Duo is such a disappointing branding failure, because I think it started out well. They meant well, because the original idea was, let's build a really, really great video chatting platform that's built on a really great fundamental technology, WebRTC, and let's make it as great as possible for one-on-one video calls for real normal people. And now that's not what the app is anymore. And so the name doesn't reflect it. The name doesn't reflect it anymore. And it's so sad. Now it's they're doing 12 people on a call, and it's, you know, and I don't know. I'm glad that the app is gaining in features, but it's just yet another branding, I think, like, just mistake on Google's part.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's Duo. That doesn't mean anything. That word, it's not even a word, is it? Doesn't really, in the sense of video conferencing that people expect. So that's who knows what will happen with something as good as Google Meet.
Speaking of that, and we'll just drop some little tidbits here before we close out the show. We're coming up on an hour now, but for those of you that are listening and sticking it through with us and are dedicated listeners and listening to the show as a whole, we really want to give you some little inside tidbits on things that might be happening. And Duo is one of those things. We're hearing that Google is actually planning to go even further than they've already gone. As I mentioned, Google Duo is very much gone away from its original kind of core product idea. We're told that there's even a version of Duo or perhaps an offshoot of Duo that's internal that Google is hoping to kind of market as a clear, I guess, Teams-based video chatting platform. So it's like
groups of people, let's say.
Duo is not being marketed that way as of right now, I don't think. Maybe it is. Maybe we're not aware of it. But we're told that Google is focusing even more so on these non-core features to kind of flesh it out and make it even better for family and friend interactions. So that's fascinating to see that, you know, as Google Duo has been relatively successful, but it looks like it's going to in many ways duplicate some of the things that might be better off using people using Meet. And
I know we're just running tidbits here, but I just want to pose the question. Google's insistence that they have an enterprise version of a product, of a service, of a functionality, and a consumer version of that functionality. It's really born out of the history in terms of how they used to just have one product for everything. Let's take Gmail, for example. For the most part, you use the same consumers, use the same Gmail as G Suite subscribers do. But the trend in recent history for Google is just having two products to clear up any confusion about who this is for. But at the same time, I think maybe Google should give end users more credit to understand that distinction between, yes, this is a version of a product I use for work, and this is a version, and at the same time, I can also use this personally with my personal Google account. So it's just the insistence on splitting up products is interesting.
Yeah, and I guess we'll just leave the show here on this final note. And again, thank you so much for listening to the show, and thank you so much for those of you that stick through it with us, especially in this season. I know it's I guess the time to look for things that are going to distract us from what's going on in the world. And so we're really grateful that you've chosen us, 9to5 Google, of all things to read and to listen to. And we know you have countless things asking for your attention and wanting you to watch and spend your time on. So we really appreciate that. But this last little tidbit we're going to drop here before the show ends is on Pixel 5. We do know a little bit about Pixel 5 and kind of the short history of it is it looks like Pixel 5 might be the first mainline Pixel that doesn't have a Snapdragon 800 series processor. So it looks like Google might be sacrificing having the toppest of the top end specifications in favor of going with a lower price tag, which if you've been following our coverage and you will, if you will follow our coverage over the coming months, you'll probably learn a lot more about this. You can just search Pixel 5 on the Google 9to5 Google homepage anytime you want. If you want to just see what the latest coverage is, we're also going to be updating our navigation bar at the top of the site to make all of these things a little bit more accessible. But this last little tidbit before we go is that we're hearing that Pixel 5 might actually be a little bit delayed, at least compared to last year, given I think primarily with the COVID-19 situation. So I don't know what's going to happen with the Made by Google event. It seems like Made by Google 2020, I mean, everything is up in the air with all of these major tech firms right now, because we don't know how things are going to play out in the culture or in the economy or in terms of safety issues or anything really. And so there's a lot of things that are up in the air, but we're hearing that while the Pixel 5 announcement might take place around the same time, it seems like, you know, the actual hardware launch might be a little bit delayed given the COVID-19 situation. So we'll have more and more details on the Pixel 5 in the coming weeks, coming months especially. So be sure to tune in to 9to5google.com. You can follow us on here on Twitter. We're at twitter.com/ABC Scoop. And you can tune in here most weeks. If we have something to talk about, we're jumping on here. We're going to chat about it. This week, we obviously had Pixel 4a and Google Hangouts stuff to talk about. Some weeks, we have literally nothing interesting to talk about. So it's kind of hard to put together a show that's halfway interesting. And for those that have tuned in for the last couple shows, maybe you realize that. So we appreciate your patience. We appreciate you listening in. We're on all your favorite podcasting platforms, such as iTunes, and Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, Google Play. And we're also posting the podcast directly on 95google.com at 95google.com/guides/alphabet scoop. Again, we're at twitter.com/abcscoop. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for listening to us chat for an hour about very niche Google stuff. We really appreciate you. And we will see you next week.
Bye.